If you're haunted and harassed by your own inner critic, if you've ever been curious about why hypnosis works so well, if you're a seasoned hypnotist, or if you suspect that the inner critic is actually hypnotizing you to hold back from reaching the greatness that you know deep down is inside you, lean in and get inspired to get out of your comfort zone and create your one precious life with purpose and intention. If you like this show, you'll love my powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room, because it gives you crystal clear guidance and direction and illuminates an ingenious way to make triumphant decisions, no matter how stuck you feel or how confused you were. This powerful hypnosis audio is my gift to you when you go to theimpostermonster.com. Again, that's theimpostermonster.com. Don't forget the. Theimpostermonster.com. And yes, I'm done saying it. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. I'm Lori Hammond, and I'm truly grateful for you. Welcome to today's podcast. I have been so excited about this one. I've been wanting to connect with Robert for years. And a few days ago, I got a friend request from someone that looked exactly like Robert. And I clicked on it and I saw that they were using all of his pictures. As soon as I accepted the friend request out of curiosity, they started messaging me and speaking in really broken English. And I realized this is not Robert. So I messaged you, Robert, and I said, just so you know, someone is using your profile. They're using your profile pictures. They're an imposter. And so I thought it was kind of cool how Robert and I came together for this interview, because when we started talking, one thing led to another. And I asked him to be on this podcast. So an imposter brought Robert and I together. And Robert Gene Smith is an international speaker, teacher, and leading expert in neuroplasticity. He started his exploration into how the human brain works when he was just 15 years old. And his journey has led him through countless theories, modalities, therapies, and techniques for effective transformation. Robert provides the largest library of free educational videos on healing the mind and body on YouTube through his channel, Robert Gene Eutaptics Faster EFT Training. Robert has a long list of features to his credit, including a major appearance in the feature-length documentary E-Motion and multiple guest appearances on TV programs, podcasts, and radio shows. His resume includes keynote presentations at HypnoBiz New York, Hypno Summit Worldwide, and Hypno Thoughts Las Vegas, among many other major conferences on emotional wellness across the world. Eutaptics Faster EFT is a powerful healing system he developed through years of research, experimenting, and practice. Robert teaches people around the world how to empower themselves to create the lives they desire by showing them his life-changing method of rewiring their brain so they can achieve real transformation. His compassion and dedication have driven him to expand his own knowledge and skills to reach across the world. And Robert, I'm so grateful to have you here today. I have been wanting to connect with you for years. Welcome to the show.
Well, how exciting is that? Yes, it is interesting how we come together. And of course, yes, you're not the first person to have written me during that week. Many people are using my amazing face to try to get money from innocent women. And maybe men too, we don't know. But, you know, it's like it's an endless shutting down stuff. But the most amazing thing is that you and I have now connected and we shall learn something together.
Yes, I'm so grateful. So will you tell me, for a person, because I imagine people listening might be either brand new to EFT or perhaps they are skeptics. They've used EFT a little bit and they didn't really feel anything or know what was working. So how would you explain what you do to someone who's brand new to your work?
Okay, well, first of all, my work is way beyond EFT. EFT's model of thinking is light years behind what you're going to learn with Eutaptics Faster EFT. EFT is an energy-based model and a tapping-based model. And what I teach is a mind-based model. It's basically, and we use psychosensory processes and or techniques to help defractionate, which is the opposite of fractionation, the mind. That means a simple neuroplastic way to update memories. And so, although I do use tapping, but a majority of my training is about how your brain actually works and how to create shifts. So again, the EFT model is a little bit different. And if anybody says, hey, you should try fast EFT, they said, no, thank you. I've already tried EFT and it didn't work for me. And the problem is because of the setup. Now, of course, what I teach is about how the mind works, neuroplasticity, how stress, and how your mind is, we have a limbic system and we have the information on the cortices. And today's problems are merely recycled past experiences. And so, you know, you see behind me, we got a bunch of monkeys. And what I say that everyone's a trans monkey, which means monkey see, monkey do. And when you have a problem, you're actually in a trance. And so what we're doing in my system is we're actually breaking or redesigning the trances in which we naturally go into, which, you know, kind of reminds me of Milton H. Erickson. And Richard Bandler had sent a couple of guys down to see what Milton's doing. And when they came back, they couldn't remember anything that happened. So Richard decided to do it himself. But he was very smart because what he did, he put himself in a trance before he got to Milton H. Erickson, so he could put him in a trance. Therefore, he could remember what happened. And so when we understand the power of the mind and that we're actually always in a trance, and again, the quality of our life or the quality of the monkey's life is determined by the information that the limbic brain, and which also includes the cortices, will start replicating in our life today. So this is how and why I do what I do. It's very simple. And the most amazing thing, you know, we got instant doses, we got covert languaging, such as the Milton Erickson style. And what I do is so fast, so clean, and so normal that most people don't even realize that we're going in and out of our good and bad trances to update the bad ones to turn them into good ones. So that's what I do, really.
I love that. I'm listening with the ears of a person who is hearing this for the first time, and my mind is going a million different directions. At one point, you said something about updating memories, and I feel like that could make people think, what does that mean? Are you going to erase my memory? Are you going to change my memory? Will you talk to me a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest things. You know, you're a hypnotist. And of course, some of the things we get from clients, you're not going to make me quack like a duck, or you're not going to do this or do that. Of course, when we put them in trance and we take them out, they say, well, I don't think I was in trance because I heard everything you said. Well, the deal is the brain has a natural survival system, which means memories are always updated. Sometimes you update them to the worst, and sometimes you update them for the best. It was kind of remind me, I was in Las Vegas, and I was invited to a birthday party, and it was Stephanie's 60th birthday party. And this tall German guy was there, and he goes, you know, introduced himself, and he says, what do you do? And I said, I'm a behavioral engineer, a neuroplastician, and I help people change unpleasant memories. He goes, you can't change memories. I said, well, I can, you can't. And then later on, we're eating our dinner. And after the dinner, he started telling me about an event when he was 15 years old in which he saw somebody's head decapitated from riding a motorcycle. And I said, well, that's interesting. Tell me, in your mind, as you recall this event, how do you internally represent this? And he goes, well, you know, I see it happen in front of me. So I said, so in your mind, you're actually watching it like you're a fly on the wall. He said, yes. I said, now, as you recall this, is it close? Is it far away? Is it in color? Is it in black and white? He says, it's kind of a grayish memory. And then I said, was it at night? He said, no, it was in midday. I said, I don't know if you actually realize this, but your memory has already started to change and you didn't even know it. Because first of all, you're looking at me. You're not watching you look at me. So your brain has already started making some adjustments and the image is actually grayish, which you said it was in full daylight. So it obviously would have color. Now, most people don't realize that We do. Our brain has a natural system to update itself. And if you don't know how it works, you can actually, and people do it all the time, they'll take a good memory and make it bad, and make a bad memory even worse by merely updating itself. And, you know, it's very simple how it works, but most people don't realize that it happens all the time. You know, it's like there was a restaurant that I loved in Greece, which I found it by accident, and it's, you pay 1380 euro, which is about 15 US bucks, all the fresh fish you could eat, fresh peeled potatoes, the most amazing salads, and all the wine you could drink. So every seminar, when I do seminars there in Greece, which about twice a year, and I would take all my friends there. We'd have big Monday night dinner together, and we had just such a beautiful time. I tell everybody how I love this restaurant. I have a good memory. But one day, after many events, I go to that restaurant. During the day, I've been my normal everyday civilian clothes, not dressed up like a professional. And I walk in, and there's only one table available, four seats, no reserve sign. I have a seat. The rest of the place is full. So I'm sitting there and I'm ready to eat. I'm hungry. So the waiter wakes up and I've got my what I want. He says, "You can't sit here." I said, "I'm hungry. This is my restaurant." He goes, "You can't sit here. But see those two old ladies over there? When they're finished eating, you can have their seat." And I looked at them and I go, "They're eating awful slow. I'm hungry right now." So he walks away and I'm sitting there and I'm going in my mind, I'm thinking, this is my restaurant. I love this place. I'm hungry right now. And of course, I'm from America. And of course, service is king. You know, you're there. They're here to serve you. Matter of fact, in America, you know, you go there and they give you food immediately, you know, chips, biscuits, whatever. But I'm getting really angry. So I storm out and I say, "I'll never go to this freaking restaurant again." So then I tell my friend, who's the host of the seminar, I said, "Can you know what they did? They kicked me out. They wouldn't let me eat there. I'm never going there again." And she says, "Hold on a minute." So she calls them up. She says, "We're going down there." So we go down there and the owner of the restaurant, he comes and he gives me a hug. He said, "Robert, we're so sorry. You know, we have people who come from different countries." He says, "Sometimes a single person will sit at a four table, and they will take it up the whole day. And our money is turning over. There's not somebody sitting there all day." And so, you know, like I said, he gave me a hug. He said, "Dinner's on us." As a matter of fact, every time I'd go there, dinner's on us. All right. So now it was my best restaurant in the world. And then it became the worst restaurant in the world. Never going to step through there. But if I would have never, if Christina would have never talked to me and never went back and meet this guy, this good memory would be a bad memory. Never to darken the doors again. But it was updated. The good memory was updated to worst memory, and then it turned back to good memory. Now, by the way, there's a little piece in there that I didn't address that still was a lingering thought. But this is how the brain actually works. It had, and the memories are not designed to be accurate. It's designed for survival. And that's why some people make memories worse. Sometimes they would take a good memory and turn it bad, or a bad memory, turn it good, if you know what you're doing. And so this is what I understand.
I love this. So when you reconsolidate, you update these memories, can you talk me through, or maybe even walk me through what that looks like?
Okay. Well, usually, you know, we talk about, you know what fractionation is. You're a hypnotist and you've been taught, I think it was Ellman. But here's the natural way that the brain works. We learn by witnessing and experiencing. So we learn in fractions. Like, for example, you know, you see somebody, you know, in a car driving. By watching them drive, you're learning in little pieces. You know, like, okay, you can move with a car, all right? And then when you get in the car, you have to figure out which way to turn the key, all right? You got to figure out how to apply the brake and apply the gas. All of these are little fractions. All right, and the brain has this capacity to put them all together. And then today, when you and I go out to the car, we don't go back and remember how to do this or that. We just jump in and go. It's one process. So, you know, what hypnotists will do is they will guide your mind into a trance. Now, by the way, my idea of trance and or hypnosis, it's a very simple definition. It's the mind's ability to imagine and to feel as if it's real now. So that's what hypnotists do. They guide the imagination and their body follows. So what they do is they guide them into a trance and then they pull them back up to consciousness. And then when they take them back in, naturally they'll go deeper and they keep doing it over and over again. Now you're fully deep in a trance. But today, when we're in our normal trances, which by the way, a good book I'd read was Monsters and Magical Sticks. There's no such thing as hypnosis. And basically it says that we're always in a trance. And the art as a hypnotist or as a neuroplastician is that we want to defract or flatten out the trances. That means change them. And it's very simple. People do it all the time. And so what you do is the act of visiting a memory and what determines the outcome of the memory is why you visit. Well, you know, like say you're sitting here, you try apply for a job and they reject you. And then you're feeling rejected and you go, but why do I feel so rejected? And then you'll remember your first boyfriend rejected you and your father and your mother rejected you. So now you're taking these emotions and now you're adding it to the past emotions. That's how we make memories worse in the past. So in order to update a memory, one of the things is we go into the memory and then we come out and then we find something good. And then when we visit the memory, we then start interjecting a new neurological experience, such as laughter, feeling good. And then by doing this over and over again, you can address all the cortices, which is visual cortex, auditory, kinesthetic, motor, taste and smell. And as you update each cortex, the memory is now being updated and rewritten. And the good thing is I can do it very fast. I mean,
when I was growing up, my parents divorced when I was about 12 and I was in therapy for years in talk therapy. And then when I went through my divorce, I just kind of thought that's what you do. And I went back into talk therapy. And I remember just driving to that appointment, kind of getting in that negative frame of mind. Cause it's like, okay, this is when I talk about my problems. And every time I went up there, you know, now that I understand that this is how the brain works and that we're always changing memories, I realize every time I made it's like I was almost making it worse and worse, feeling more and more broken, more and more discouraged, more and more like I'm never going to figure this out. Yeah. So I love that you can take the natural processes that happen in the brain and reverse engineer them to give people freedom and peace so quickly. Yeah. At the end of Hypnothoughts this year, just about a month ago, I was sitting outside waiting to catch my Uber home. And my friend Art came out and he said, I was in Robert's class and he said, I'm not afraid of water anymore. And the day before we had all been at the pool and someone said, Art, you're here. And they were all clapping and I didn't understand. And he said, he wiped out my fear of water in just a few minutes. And I thought, for one thing, I was incredibly happy for him as my friend. And I was really jealous because I've been afraid of water since my childhood as well. And I've worked to overcome it. And I've known if I just reach out to someone, we'll get there. But I love that you have these tools. A lot of people might be watching this on YouTube. If not, I highly recommend coming and looking at the visual. Can you show us maybe, like for someone who's watching, and we're here in the context of imposter syndrome, people who are afraid to get started, they have this fear of making videos or this fear of working with clients and starting to use the tools they've learned or this perfectionism. Is there something that they could utilize maybe inside your material on YouTube or a training that you have to help them release that fear and that scary feeling of getting ready to level up in your life?
Yeah. Well, that's a very common program. And it's oftentimes emotionally conditioned throughout our life. A common thing I hear, said, you come home, you have your home emotional crazy environment, but you can't take this environment to school or you'll get in trouble or you'll have more problems. So oftentimes we have this internal self-guilt, self-blame. We have the dirty secret we don't want anybody to know. We've had the events that occurred to us. And so we try to tuck it away and put it away. We have events where, of course, as you're a professional, you know, being out there to help people, one, will generate more revenue in your pocket, and it'll definitely help improve your life. But oftentimes we don't, because we've had shame and humiliation at school and being noticed and being looked at. So the brain keeps recycling it. And so one of the most important things, like I did with art, like I do with everyone, the brain has its resources to manifest today's problem as, and we think it's a new problem today, but we have repeatedly the pattern. I always call the unconscious, or we call the unconscious, the intelligent idiot. Basically, it captures memories and experiences, organize it, and then starts replicating throughout our life at the right triggered moment. And so I have a process called the art of change, aim, release, and transform, which basically gives us a structure, why, where, when, and how, and we go change those, and immediately you're acting from personal power. So again, the structure is, one, you're not broken and you're doing a great job. Your limbic system is using the information on the cortices and manifesting the fear of stepping out or stepping forward. You know, the woman who said, well, you know, I can't put myself out there. I can't make more money. I can't do this. I can't do that. And come to find out, the reason is that she was born with a defect. It's called beauty and intelligence. And her mom said, stop outshining your sister. You're hurting her feelings. And by the way, you're making your brothers feel dumb. So stop being so smart. So this is an emotional, what we call an emotional imprint, a value system learned from our world. And from this value system, we operate autonomically. That means we operate, we call it an autonomic trance. Immediately go into the trance, you do what you're supposed to do. Then later on, you beat yourself up because you've been doing it. And that's because you've been emotionally conditioned and programmed by your past. So the way to do this is actually identify the memories, then change the memories. It's that simple. But knowing how to change the memories is a skill every modality must learn. And if you know the skill, and it's so easy, I could take a phone app and destroy a rape memory in 12 minutes. So which is more powerful, the rape or a phone app? And the phone app is a fart app called Tap and Fart. With a fart, I totally, the sound of a fart, totally destroyed a rape memory.
And this is an app you have out?
It's not my app. It's free app Apple, but I didn't come up with it. But it's very effective. And so, you know, the brain has its interesting ways. You know what a joke is? You know, a joke is you're following the story and the punchline takes you somewhere else. Well, that's exactly what we're doing, is when you take the seriousness of a problem, which is a trance, and you interject anything, you can update and change the trance of the problem. And I discovered it by accident, actually. I was in a namaste group here in Oklahoma City. It's like a big, I call it the woo-woo convention. You know, they're tarot readers and channelers and rock sellers and all this stuff, which I find them very interesting and entertaining. But I was presenting to them, and I brought somebody up with a horrible fear, and then less than 20 minutes, the fear is gone. And I said, hey, I'm doing sessions the next 2 days. So I'm doing 2-hour sessions. And this one lady's in her 70s. She comes in. She says, I only got one problem, Sonny. So I gave the second hour to my friend. And of course, I said, what's the problem? She goes, well, I can't have an orgasm by hearing any sounds in the house. And in my mind, I go, great. And you gave your second hour away. So normally, you know, as a hypnotist, and we know as in therapy worlds, if somebody comes with an issue around this area, the question you'd ask, any sexual abuse in your life? Now, by the way, I'm in a hotel room and it's very thin walls. And I said that, all of a sudden this 70-ish woman is laying with her face down and screaming profusely. And I go, oh shit. And then she's crying, and I'm tapping on top of her head, said, good job, get it all out, let it all go. And I shoved her, I said, hold on a second. She pulls her head up. I go, where'd you get those shoes? She said, I bought them somewhere. And I did a round of tapping on her and I said, go back to it again. And she went back down crying, but the tears and the screaming was less. I did that several times, and within 30 minutes, I said, I want you to go back and make it feel bad. She says, I can't, it's over. I said, but what was it? Because I have zero content. She goes, I don't really know now. She goes, all I remember is running from the woods naked and I look like my grandmother died. I said, any emotional trauma? She said, no. I said, try to make it bother you. She said, I can't. And I said, have you tried therapy on this? She said, I've been in therapy for over 50, 60 years trying to work on this stuff. I said, what'd you try? You said, you name it, I've tried it. I went to Esalen, I wrote on paper. I went through the big vagina and fell into the swimming pool. I go, what's that? Never heard of it. She said, it's rebirthing therapy, primal scream, hypnosis. I've been to Esalen, you name it, I've tried it all. But in that 30 minutes, a trauma, which I had no content of, flattened out, neurologically changed. And so I discovered that people go in and out of trances all the time, thanks to the Monsters and Magical Stick. And our goal is to understand mental mechanics, which is the NLP understanding. So by the way, NLP is the foundation of my thinking system. And there's a lot of people who have taken many courses on NLP. And the problem with NLP courses is that when you leave, you don't know how to use it on yourself. And it's very cumbersome. And so when I was in Switzerland, Roll Switzerland, one of the ladies who's at my seminar who owns a NLP training institute, she said, Robert, what you have is the fourth generation of NLP, which is applicable and usable, which also NLP is also hypnosis, you know, all mixed together. But when I'm out there in the real world, I don't talk about these words. I don't talk about hypnosis because I talk logically, practically, and it makes sense. And you know what? The beautiful thing is it works very quickly.
So if this is something you can use yourself, I'm assuming that you could guide a person on Zoom virtually to go through the protocol and do this on their mm-hmm. own without being in physical proximity to them.
Most of my sessions are via Zoom or Skype. So yes, I help a lot of people. Now I do have a lot of free videos. I have a lot of free trainings. You know, you go to skillsofchange.com. There's free trainings in there. I have a lot of free videos. I got 1500 videos on YouTube. I have like 14 or 15 million views there. There's a lot of great testimonials. And we're talking about people with severe physical illnesses, phobias, PTSD, addiction. I'm an addiction expert. I've been volunteering my time in drug rehabs for about 12 years. And, you know, of course, knowing, by the way, I do the biggest and worst stuff, PTSD, physical illnesses, addictions. I know how the brain works and I know how to neurologically update memory. And we're talking not a long time, it's a very short time. You know, when you have somebody who's coming from Afghanistan, they've seen all kinds of people killed and they don't know how to deal with these emotions and they go to drugs. It's the great numb. And so when I go back and I start cleaning this stuff up, the guy sitting in front of me says, I can't, I've never talked about this stuff because I can't. And I said, I understand that. Listen, you don't have to tell me anything. All you got to do is go in your mind, remember, and nod your head when you're done. And then less than 3 minutes later, I said, go back and make it bother you. He says, I can't. I said, well, talk about it. He says, this is the weirdest thing. He says, I don't feel nothing now. I know it happened, but I'm not there anymore. Which, by the way, he says, I'm not in the trance anymore. So again, it is super simple, super easy. And of course, you know, we have a training system. It's for teachers and parents, how to help children, because children are super easy. And when you teach children emotional intelligence is really what we're teaching, how the brain works. I call it directed mindfulness. That means you're directing your mind, making adjustments in your mind right now, unlike most normal mindfulness practices, which you've got to meditate 3 hours a week or 3 hours a day. In 6 months, maybe you'll have a change. We're doing it immediately, directed mindfulness, directly changing the mind, make adjustments now, move forward. So it's very simple. So again, you know, we use tapping and people ask, why do you use tapping? Well, tapping is what you call a defrac, or, you know, fractionation, you go into trance. So when you tap, you should be coming out. Now, if you use the EFT model, that's not a good model because they say focus on the problem, which means stay into the trance. It's hard to come out of the trance when you're in it. So one of the things is we pull you out of the trance, you do something physical, you don't even have to tap, you can do something that makes you feel good, you can laugh, you can fake laugh, you can do anything to adjust the memory. Once you change your state and then you go back and revisit whatever you are focusing on within the memory that bothered you, it would have changed. And then you do the next level, the next segment in your mind. And then of course, you know, I train a lot of different stuff. I train people. First level I train, you can change yourself, because the biggest problem I see in therapies is that I can help everybody else, but I don't know how to help myself. And so that's a big problem in the healing world, because if you're sick and you got your emotional issues and your client comes in and they're less sick than you are, they won't come back and see you again. So my thinking is people need to learn how to change themselves, know how to update themselves so their life is better. Secondly, the second level, I go into how to go into their unconscious, other people's unconscious mind, make fast changes, very quick at a deep neurological level. And of course, we use the conscious mind as, you know, a finger signal like we use in hypnosis. We say, is it there or is it not? Notice what you know, and then we go back and change that. So it's deep unconscious rewriting of the cortices. So, but yeah, that's good.
Beautiful. So when I was giving your intro, I mentioned that you've been doing this, studying this since you were 15. And so I'm assuming there's something there that led you to start studying this. You talked about the importance of personal transformation, personal healing, and being able to utilize these tools for yourself. Are there any stories you're willing to share with us about the transformation you've experienced as a result of this work?
Oh man, I'll tell you what, it's the list of major changes in my life is long. But I will say this, you know, you see me as a public speaker, you see me presenting, you see me sharing now. There was a time in my life, I couldn't stand up in front of class. I was shy, I was not a public speaker. There was no way I could ever do it in class. Super fearful, super, you know, unhappy, angry, hurt, never would be able to share with anybody. And so now my life and my world, I'm traveling around the world and people are paying me to talk to them. I mean, you think about it, that's pretty freaking amazing, but especially when you're a kid, kids are to be seen and not heard, you know? So again, you know, when you have childhood school issues, those will prevent you from speaking up and standing up for yourself, but I changed those. And so that's one. Of course, my financial world is I would never believe the life I have. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you were to say in your future, in the crystal ball, you'll be traveling around the world, you'll be educating educators and doctors and nurses, and that people will pay you a lot of money just to sit with you, I would just laugh at them. There's no way, I can't even stand in front of class. So these are major changes, and the changes continue in my life as I work on myself. And so that's the real key, is knowing how to change myself. Because see, I believe that we should all be our own healers. And that's my goal, is to educate people, says, listen, you're not broken, you're not screwed up. You're successfully creating this problem from your great limbic mind and the information on the cortices. All you have to do is change the information. You know, and once you change information, your behavior changes, your life changes, and it's not a struggle. You know, when Art jumped in the water, he wasn't fearful. The right. Fear was gone. And he wasn't stupid either, which means he knows he's not a professional swimmer. But his power was given back to him. And that's what people need, you know, is having their own power. So that's what I do, is I show you how to take control.
Have you noticed that as you do this work with other people that you find more and more healing with yourself, inside yourself? And if so, what would you say? I have so many people come to me and they feel like they need to have arrived, like they need to be perfect before they can help other people. And so speak to that for me.
Yeah. Well, first of all, having the standard of perfectionism, that's the lowest standard you could ever have, because you could never achieve it. You know, so if you've got to be perfect, that's what my older son said, hey, Dad, I can't believe you're putting that stuff out there. It's not perfect. I said, of course not. It's the best I can do. And over time, I have progressed because I keep perfecting myself. Again, I'm not broken, and what I do is perfect. Now, granted, can I learn from this and improve from myself? Of course. But the deal is, it's our own judgments. And we learn it from our parents. We learn it from our schools. We learn it from our churches, our religions. Which, by the way, if you have this model, you got to be perfect, it will never occur. So why don't you just do the best you can, learn from it, grow from it, and keep improving? So that's what I do. Of course, you know, like, you know, I'm, you know, I've never claimed to be perfect because it's not on my birth certificate nor my driver's license. I am me. I do what I know how to do, and I'm always liking myself more. Therefore, I improve myself.
Beautiful. If you think back to when you first started, you've been researching, you've been understanding, you've been doing some self-work, and you first start to share this with other people and to use this perhaps in the context of like a therapeutic intervention, what kind of self-talk went through your mind that empowered you to start actually using this with people and sharing it with the world?
You know, of course, I started, you know, of course, I come from an imperfect family, a very functioning, dysfunctional family. And of course, when you marry, we have a tendency to marry what we're familiar with. And of course, you know, my wife at the time, she said, you know, I was abused. And I said, well, as I was too, so how am I going to deal with her? So over a period of time, I've always been what you call a searcher of truth. You know, buying a cassette series of Anthony Robbins, Your Unlimited Power, listening and inundating my mind with positivity. My mission was to learn how it works and two, to help people. And my whole mission was to help my wife, my family, and myself. And so anywhere I would go, if somebody was standing still long enough, I was willing to help them. And I've done it many places. So my passion was to get results, to see results, and to see changes. And the beautiful thing about my work is you easily see a lot of changes in a single session. So that was my passion. And then I worked with this one lady and she gave me $50 for helping her. I said, what? You can actually make money doing this? I would have never thought of it because mine was not money motivated. It was life changing and making a difference in the world motivation. I'm still that way. But then that's what, again, what is your reasoning for what you do? You know, again, it's like the guy who came to my office and he wanted to kill himself. You know, he says he's got his noose hung up in the garage. And of course, I bring him from the foyer. He looks like a drug addict. I say, what's going on, Tim? Now, Tim is a very successful businessman. He has a great home. He has a great life, has a great family, but he wanted to kill himself. He said, they will be better off without me. And then I started asking the right questions. I go, well, where'd you learn this? How do you know it's this way? And it goes back to his childhood because, see, his family was the joke of town. You know, they made fun of him. And of course, they made fun of him. And they were the dirt poor people. So in his life as a kid, he made a decision, I want to be somebody. But the problem is his pain drove him to do the right things. But the problem is he took the nobody with him. So even though he's successful, he's still nothing. Until that day when he walked out, because we updated to where he's always been somebody, and that somebody has made him work harder, and the little boy that was hurt is no longer hurt. So again, this is a very, so that's what I did with myself. You know, I've had not what you call great experiences, but when you change them, I have a lot of good experiences. So again, you know, like if you're going to have a fantasy, you can be the worst piece of crap in the world, or you can be the most amazing piece of person in the world. It all depends on what you hold in your mind. And so that's what we do. We just update the memories and how we perceive things.
What would you say to someone, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, who says, well, but that really happened to me and you can't change the past and this is who I really am. What would you say to that person?
And I will agree with them. You're right. You can't change the past because the past doesn't exist. And you know, you sit around your family and you're talking around the dinner table and you're talking about an event and there's five different stories and there's a fight because who's right? Again, what you hold in your mind is only one thing, and that is not the real past. It's a distorted point of view. And if you don't change what you hold in your mind, because the truth is memories in your mind are designed to keep you in alignment with it. That means if you have a crappy memory in your mind, that guarantees you're going to re-experience that again. So if you change your memories, your unpleasant memories, update them, it doesn't mean you change the past. It only changes what your brain does to you. And the real question is, would you give this painful memory and experience to one of your children? Most likely not. Therefore, you should not hold it inside yourself. Because the reason why people hold memories in, and the whole purpose of pain is trying to keep you from being hurt again, but also is guaranteed while you hold the pain, you're being hurt over and over again.
Robert, you mentioned that your relationship with money has changed over the years. And you talked about how when you first started, you weren't asking for money. I believe it's Zig Ziglar who says something to the effect of, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll have abundance. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me about the mindset shift that has happened for you? And I ask this because I know a lot of people listening to this podcast, they really want to help people, but they really want to be able to live a good life and create an income for themselves. So talk to me a little bit about the mindset shift that you have undergone since you began all of this.
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, I come from a very poor family, and we have a lot of memories that are installed in our life from our life experiences, from our parents and our religions and interactions. So one of the things for me is I have worked on those. I changed those memories. And secondly, as Zig Ziglar, even Jesus Christ clearly says, you'll help, the more people you help, the greater you become. Again, a lot of people treat money like it's some mystical, magical power, and it really isn't. The money you have or not have is a direct result of your current belief systems and your current attitudes. It represents your spirituality, it represents your parents, it represents your self-value. As you change each of these memories of areas of your life, naturally, money comes your way. So what I did is I sat down and looked and said, if I do X, I'll get Y. So my whole purpose was to do what it took to help people and get paid for my great service. It's that simple. Now, again, the reason why people don't is because of their own personal values, their own personal identity, their own personal relationships and experiences with their world. So you just fix that.
So a person could realistically use your methods to release that money mindset that they have, perhaps if they have a poverty mindset, and then move into a place where they feel empowered to help people. I've noticed for myself, the more I focus on who I'm helping, and I think, you know, when that imposter monster is yelling in my ear and saying, you're not making a difference. If I start thinking about the testimonials that come in and the people that tell me how a video that they saw changed their life, all of a sudden it takes that focus off of building abundance. And it's just feels so good to give. I don't think there's any better feeling in the world.
But you have to understand the most important thing, Lori, if that part of you that's still inside you, it always knocks on your door. So what you need to do is go in and figure out, how did you learn to have this? What is its intentions? What are the memories that represent this? And when you change it, the door is never knocked by that one. Because again, it's you.
Right. Do you ever have someone say, well, I don't know what that memory is. I don't know what that, you know, where that hypnotic programming came in.
Of course. 99.999% of the world act and not even know why they do. But with the art of change, it elicits unconscious strategy, which is a list of about 67 or 80 questions that is asking belief structure, references, metaphoric expressions, value systems, and payback. You change all of those, you don't have a problem. Matter of fact, you almost forgot you had it.
You mentioned earlier that you asked the right questions, and I think asking the right questions is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Tony Robbins says the power of our lives is dictated by the quality of our questions. Mm-hmm. Is there a place where people who are curious can find that list of questions or a specific training where you teach those?
Well, the Art of Change is my system. It's given to you in level one training. You can change yourself. We use it all the time. And that is to elicit unconscious strategies. And Anthony is absolutely right. You know, the quality of your question is determined by the presumed beliefs about yourself. Why am I such a loser? Presumed belief is I'm a loser. Why am I so amazing? The presumed truth is I'm amazing. So again, once you go change the loser memories and references and proofs, your questions naturally are updated and the angle of thinking is already shifted. So yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that would be important to know, or anything that you would want to say to a person who's skeptical or hesitant to help mm-hmm. them get outside their comfort zone and start using this stuff?
Yeah, well, I would say, what I would tell people, and I say this, the best money you'll ever spend is learning how to know you from within you. Learning how to love you and like you from inside your mind. Learning how to make adjustments of the unpleasant memories and change them. Because the best investment you have is in your mind. We know that. A lot of you guys have paid a lot of money to go into to learn therapies, learn techniques and processes. But actually going inside your own mind and changing your own self. Because see, what you do in here, you're going to do to others. Our parents loved us the best way they knew how. They impacted us from their own programmings. You do the same to your children, your friends, your family, and your colleagues, because it's coming from your own unpleasantries. Not all. We have some good stuff too. But when you change the system of pain and hurt and fear, naturally, you'll act in a positive way without even trying. So if I could say anything, invest in your own self. Learn to feel it safe in your own mind, in your own memories, and change all the ones that are unpleasant. And as you do that, you are the great recipient of the positivity, and the law of attraction works better because you do attract what you hold in your mind. And that's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Robert. I'm so happy that the imposter brought us together. And I will put notes beneath the video, beneath the podcast, wherever you're listening to learn more about Robert and his trainings. Thank you for being here and have an amazing day. I'm so grateful you've listened all the way to the end. What is one tiny action step you'll take now based on an aha moment you got during the podcast? Maybe that life-changing action step is to come accept the gift I have for you at theimpostermonster.com. Head there right now to get your powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room. That lets you make important decisions and get crystal clear about your next step forward on this path of purpose in your one great and precious life.